For WMRA News, I'm Christopher Correa, filling in this week for Bob Levicky. A lobbyist for Charlottesville strikes out in Richmond. Pipeline developers go to court to oust tree sitters again. And Today honors a civil rights activist who fought for equal resources in Virginia schools. This is the WMRA Daily for Monday, April 23rd, 2018.
Support for the WMRA Daily is provided by the shops at Stonefield at Route 29 and Hydraulic Road in Charlottesville, featuring a collection of shopping, dining, and entertainment experiences with ample parking. Learn more at shopsatstonefield.com.
Charlottesville officials who paid a lobbying firm $50,000 in taxpayer money to push for legislation they wanted have come away largely disappointed. Before the start of this year's legislative session, the city agreed to pay Troutman Sanders for lobbying services, with an eye on legislation to give the city authority to remove its Confederate monuments and adopt specific gun restrictions. City officials say there were at least 7 bills related to those topics. The Richmond Times-Dispatch reports that all of the bills, including 2 prohibiting wearing clothes similar to that of military or emergency services personnel during demonstrations, were passed over or killed before they could reach the full Senate or House. The proposed gun bills generally sought restrictions on carrying firearms in public buildings and spaces in the city. Developers of a controversial pipeline project are asking a federal judge to find members of a Western Virginia family in contempt of court and to order U.S. Marshals to remove them from tree stands where they are protesting to prevent access to their land. In court papers Friday, Mountain Valley Pipeline developers say members of the Terry family are violating a court order prohibiting them from delaying, obstructing, or interfering with access to court-approved easements obtained by Mountain Valley for their 300-mile natural gas pipeline. Roanoke County authorities issued arrest warrants last week for 61-year-old Teresa Ellen Terry and her adult daughter, Teresa Minor Terry, but they have not tried to remove them by force. The two have been occupying tree stands within the easements and preventing work there. A new study shows the state will at some point have to reroute the highway that crosses Natural Bridge. Here's Fred Eccles.
Natural Bridge in Rockbridge County is not only a geological wonder, but it's also spent the last 8 decades doing what man-made bridges do, carrying traffic. And as we hear from David Poole with the Virginia Public Access Project, that's becoming a problem.
This is a story by Lawrence Hammack, a reporter with the Roanoke Times. It's a story about a study commissioned after Natural Bridge became a state park. A highway has run across Natural Bridge since the 1930s. The study was commissioned because really the state wants to know, is it safe? Will the vibrations from cars and trucks, there's about 2,000 cars and trucks rumble a day across the road, will that kind of cause limestone chunks to fall off and perhaps harm visitors to the park? More than 200,000 people walk beneath the majestic arch every year, and the question is, are they safe?
So then, how do you go about testing a natural bridge to see how sound it is?
They use ground radar, drone surveillance, laser surveying, vibration monitoring, and measuring seismic waves caused by large hammer blows. And they examined every inch of this bridge, which sits 215 feet above a creek. They concluded that the highway eventually needs to be moved because the water flowing off the road is only going to exacerbate the erosion of this natural formation, which has been there for more than 1 million years, and scientists believe is going to be standing for another 5,000 years.
The highway that crosses Natural Bridge is US 11. VDOT will develop a plan for moving it, but that could be decades away. David Poole is with the Virginia Public Access Project. I'm Fred Eccles.
State and federal officials are set to begin preliminary damage assessments in areas hit by a tornado that struck Central Virginia last week. Officials with the Virginia Department of Emergency Management, the Federal Emergency Management Agency, and the Small Business Administration were to begin evaluating property damage today to determine what programs might be available to support recovery efforts. Officials say those affected should try to be at their properties and contact their local emergency management office for additional information. The National Weather Service says a tornado with top wind speeds estimated at 130 miles per hour tore through Lynchburg as well as Campbell and Amherst counties last Sunday. Damage was particularly heavy in the Lynchburg and Danville areas. And finally today, Today is Virginia's first Barbara Johns Day. The late civil rights activist is credited with leading a local movement to get equitably resourced schools. It began with a student walkout 67 years ago. Saray Wintersmith reports on some of the efforts to keep that story alive.
Joy Speaks remembers the day Barbara Johns appeared on stage in an impromptu assembly at Robert Roosa Moton High School in Farmville.
And then she started with her, I call it, iconic speech.
As the story goes, Johns had enough of the overcrowding, leaky roofs, and secondhand textbooks that came with the racially segregated school. With a secret student planning committee, she plotted a scheme to lure the principal off the school grounds, gather the entire student body into the auditorium, and urge them to walk out of the school in a collective protest.
She started to quote scriptures about a child should lead and God was on our side, and that's why we all should come together and go on strike and stay on strike until we get a new school. And then one girl got up and she said, well, what if they put us all in jail? And Barbara said, the jail is not big enough to hold us all.
The student body walked out with Johns that day and didn't return for 2 weeks. Their action morphed into a lawsuit, which 3 years later reached the U.S. Supreme Court. The suit was part of the Brown versus Board of Education case that began the dismantling of lawful segregation. Of the 5 suits involved, Virginia's was the only sparked by a student-led strike.
That I should have studied history at a Virginia university, should be passionate about history, and not have heard of Barbara Johns is kind of mind-blowing to me.
Virginia Congressman Tom Garrett drafted the state's 2017 resolution to designate April 23rd Barbara Johns Day. Garrett says he didn't learn about Johns or the Moton High School strike until 2011 when he campaigned for state senate. He wants more people to learn about this history.
And the fact that this 16-year-old girl had the same courage as, say, a Patrick Henry, that she would stand up and speak to injustice at the risk of her very life, and that we didn't know who she was, I just felt like it was a story that needed to be told.
Lawmakers unanimously approved the resolution after Garrett took his seat in Congress. He says he's now drafting a bill to award Johns a posthumous Congressional Gold Medal. Later this year, Virginia's 2019 commemoration will launch a new History Trails app designed to digitally guide explorers to sites like the old high school where the strike started, what is now the Robert Roosa Moton Museum.
We see here a number of members of the student body.
Inside its narrow halls, the wood floors creak as museum director Cameron Patterson walks me through the 6 galleries. He says being in a place where history happened adds a unique dimension of understanding.
You know, from the crack that you see in the back of the wall in the auditorium that came about as a result of the basketball hoop that hung to the auditorium stage, I think to be here kind of just puts you in that period of time. And I think it gives a deeper connection to what those students did.
The museum has books, photos, and news articles to help visitors learn about the time period. Patterson hopes visitors and those who only hear or read about Barbara Johns and Moton High will be inspired by a story of community and altruism.
You capture that energy and spirit by the service that you give to others.
Saraya Wintersmith, WMRA News.
And I'm Christopher Correa. Thanks for listening, and enjoy your Monday.